Amen, brother. In Matthew chapter 7, we're going to read verses 13 and 14. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. I'm going to preach today on the two ways. The two ways. The Bible says, verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this beautiful day that you have made. We thank you for the awesome privilege that we have to be in church. Lord, it's just a blessing, a privilege to have this freedom, this opportunity, Lord, to be able to assemble in the house of God, to be able to open our Bibles and to study your word. Lord, I thank you for each one that's present, and I pray, Lord, that you would speak to every heart, that you would do a work in every life. Lord, especially if there's someone here today that's not saved, I pray that your Holy Spirit would prick their heart, and I pray that before they leave, they would come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Lord, help this to be their day of salvation. Lord, please fill me, I pray, with your Holy Spirit. Help me to say exactly what you want said. I pray you'd give me liberty and clarity of thought, Lord, clarity of speech, that I would preach your message, say exactly what you want said. Lord, when it's all said and done, help us to be careful, to be mindful, to give you all of the praise, all of the honor, and all of the glory. And I ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Matthew chapters 5 through 7 are most often referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. And they are given this description because of our Lord's geographical location when he spoke these words. In Matthew chapter 5 verses 1 and 2, the Bible says he, talking about the Lord Jesus, went up into a mountain. It says he went up into a mountain. And when he, the Lord, was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. So this message, this sermon was preached by the Lord Jesus Christ from a mountain. That was the geographical location. And in the portion of this sermon that we read, Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, the Lord's subject. And if you've ever read the Sermon on the Mount in its entirety, you know that he dealt with many different subjects in this message. He gave us the Beatitudes that most people are very familiar with. He talked about us being the light of the world and the salt of the earth. He talked about divorce and remarriage. He talked about us loving our enemies and praying for those that despitefully use us and persecute us. He talked about how we are to do everything that we do for the glory of God only and not to be seen of men. He talked about how we're to lay up treasures for ourselves in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt. And he told us that no man can serve two masters. He talked about how we're not to worry, but we're to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He talked about us judging people unrighteously in the beginning of chapter number 7. On down beyond the verses that we read here this morning, he talked about judgment to come and how the day will come when many will stand before the Lord and hear the awful words, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." He ends the whole thing by warning us about the consequences of obeying versus disobeying what he had to say. But in the verses that we read, verses 13 and 14, our Lord's subject is the two ways. That's what he deals with. He deals with the way that leads to life and the way that leads to destruction. The way that leads to life, obviously, is the way to eternal life, where a person spends eternity in heaven with the Lord. The way of destruction, or the way that leads to destruction, is the way to eternal destruction, where a person spends eternity in hell and the lake of fire, separated from the presence of God. In Matthew chapter 10, on over in this same gospel, verse number 28, the Lord Jesus Christ said this. He said, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him," and the him there is the Lord, "fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul," or soul and body, "in hell." He said we are to fear him which is able to destroy. We're talking about the way that leads to destruction. So the way to life is the way to eternal life, which results in heaven. The way to destruction is the way to eternal destruction, which results in hell and ultimately the lake of fire. That's what Jesus deals with in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. And this morning, if the Lord will help me, there are three realities. Not fables, not wives' tales, not my opinion, but three realities about these two ways that I want us to notice from what the Lord said in His Sermon on the Mount. Now I want you to please try to pay attention, to focus carefully on what we're going to look at this morning. We're talking about the difference. Are y'all listening to me? We're talking about the difference between heaven and hell. That's what we're talking about. One way leads to heaven, one way leads to hell, and I can't think of anything more important than a person's decision to choose between heaven or hell. Can you? It's the greatest decision in life, so please pay attention to what we're going to look at. First of all, I want you to notice with me this morning what I call the major difference, concerning these two ways. And there is certainly a major difference, as we're going to notice in verses 13 and 14. Look first of all with me at verse 13 and notice there what Jesus said. He said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate." Notice now, "for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction." Notice how the Lord describes this first way, the way to destruction. He says, "Wide is the gate, broad is the way." Then look at verse number 14. He says in verse 14, "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life." Can you see a difference between the two? As they're described by the Lord, can you see the big difference? I'm talking about a major difference. We're not talking about something that's minute, something minuscule that you can barely recognize. In the Lord's description here, He shows us a major, I'm talking about a significant difference between the two. He says that way that leads to destruction is wide and broad. But when He starts talking about the way which leads to life, He describes it as straight and narrow. Now look at that word "straight" for just a moment in verse number 14. We talked about it a little bit in Sunday school. We looked at a verse where that word showed up. For those of you who were not present with us during Sunday school, the word "straight" there in verse 14 is a word that shows up many times in the Bible. And it's not straight as in the opposite of crooked, okay? That's not the way the word is being used here. Straight as it's used here in many other places means narrow. That's one reason why it says straight is the gate and narrow is the way, because those two things are the same. Straight means narrow. It means close together. It means restricted, limited in space. For example, later on in Philippians, when Paul said, I'm in a strait betwixt two, he's talking about being in a very restricted, narrow place between two things. And that's the way the word is being used here. He says, straight is the gate. That is, it's very narrow. It's restricted. There's no wiggle room, you might say, when it comes to the way that leads to life. But on the other hand, when you're talking about that way that leads to destruction, it's wide and broad. Plenty of room there. Plenty of room on the way that leads to destruction, but just very limited room. No wiggle room whatsoever on the way that leads to life. And I'm going to tell you why that is. The reason why he says it's straight and it's narrow is because there's only one thing that a person can do that will give them eternal life and assurance of a home in heaven. You know what that is? That one thing. There's not two things. There's not three. There's not a whole lot of things. Now, if you listen to people out in the world, you're going to come away with the idea that there's all sorts of things that you can do that will result in you eventually winding up in heaven. That's what people out in the secular lost world want you to believe. More importantly, that's what the devil wants you to believe. He wants you to believe that there's all sorts of different things. A lot of people will tell you, hey, we're just all going to the same place. We're just going to get there different ways. You ever heard anybody say that before? Well, that's the mentality of a lot of people in the world, and that's what the devil wants you to think. But when I read the Bible, and I'm just going to go with the Bible. You can call me narrow-minded. I'm all right with that, okay? I'm all right with that. Some of you need to get a little tougher hide, okay, and not be bothered so much by what people think about you. I think it's a honor, really, if you want to get right down to it, for somebody to consider me to be a narrow-minded Christian, okay? And that's where I'm at. You can call it narrow-minded all you want, but when I read the Bible, and I'm going to go with what the Bible says, I find that it's just the opposite of what they say out in the world. Just the opposite. The world says, hey, broad is the way that leads to life. We're going to all wind up in the same place. We're just going to get there by different means. Jesus Christ says that's not how it is. Jesus says that way to life is straight and narrow. But broad is the way that leads to destruction. There's just one thing that you can do. And if you miss that one thing, you know where you're going to wind up when you leave this world? That's why I said in the beginning, it's the difference between heaven and hell. This is very important what we're talking about. And maybe you've already made up your mind. Maybe you've already made that choice, that eternal choice. And praise God if you have decided for the way that leads to life. But it's possible that there's somebody here this morning that hadn't made that choice yet. They need to understand that there's only one thing. We're talking about a way that's straight and narrow. There's only one thing that a person can do, and if they miss that, then they spend eternity separated from God. What is that one thing? According to the Bible, it's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. That's why it's straight and narrow, friend, because there's no other option. There's no other option. If you want life and you want it more abundantly, you're going to have a personal relationship with one individual. You can't get it anywhere else. You have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Anything else you try to do is going to put you in hell when you leave this world. It's straight and it's narrow. That broad way, I mean that way to destruction, it's a broad way. Man, there's all sorts of things that a person can do that'll wind them up in hell. For example, I tell you one thing a person can do. They can put their faith in Buddha. And there are people in this world who are Buddhist, and they are very adamant about what they believe. You know where every Buddhist is going to go when they leave this world? Do you know? Now don't tighten up and get tense. It's amazing to me how in this society today you start talking about these religions, people tighten up. You're not supposed to talk about somebody's, bless God, you are supposed to talk about it if it's wrong. You just, well, say amen, because I'm going to say it, okay? If you trust in Buddha, you're going to go straight to hell when you die. Now, that's the truth, whether a person likes it or not. If you trust in Muhammad, when you die, you're going straight to hell. Amen. I'm a narrow-minded Christian, ain't I? You better be narrow-minded. We're talking about the difference between heaven and hell here. We're talking about the difference between where you're going to spend eternity. You're going to spend eternity somewhere. Either you're going to be in heaven or you're going to be in hell. And what makes the difference is the choice you make before you leave this world here. If you choose Buddha, you're going to hell. If you choose Muhammad, you're going to hell. If you choose Confucius, you're going to hell. If your trust is in the Pope, you're going to hell. You say, how can you say that? That's what the Bible says. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Here's the one that you really need to get a hold of, because I don't think we got any Buddhist in the service this morning. I don't think we got any whatever else you want to call them in the service today. I tell you where we're at down here in the South especially. We got a lot of people that are trusting in themselves to get them to heaven. What I'm talking about is they're trusting in their own righteousness. They're trusting in the fact that they're good. They're a good person. I live right. I go to church and I read my Bible, and it's all about them. They're very self-righteous, and they think in their mind, I am so good, there's no way God could put me in hell. Well, I'm just going to remind you, this Bible says there is none good, no, not one. There is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means you. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Did you hear that? That's straight out of the Bible now. I'm not giving you my opinion. Straight out of the Bible. All of your righteousness. I mean, if all you got when you stand before Him is what you've done, your good works, your good deeds, if that's all you got, and you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you will burn in hell forever. That's the truth. Being very plain with you. I'm going to show it to you in the Bible right here in this same chapter. Look on down with me if you would. Verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. They call him Lord, but they're not going. That's what he said. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. You may not believe Brother Keith's words, but you better pay attention to them words in red right there. You hear me? Them ain't mine. Them's his. And he said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name, look at it now, done many wonderful works. Isn't that what they're saying? You know what they did? That's a bunch of people that's counting on their goodness to get them to heaven. We prophesied, we've cast out devils, we've done all sorts of good works. I mean, they got their list just to list them off, just in case the Lord didn't know how good they were during their life. They got their list. We've done many, many wonderful works. Just look at it, Lord. Look at all these good things I did throughout my life. All the people I helped and the charities that I donated to, and how many times I went to church, and how many times I read my Bible, and how many times I put money in the offering plate, and how many times I cooked a meal, and how many times I sent a card, and they just go on and on down their list of all their good things that they did. And then look at what Jesus said to them. Verse 23. And then will I profess unto them. Now, I'm just going to say it right here. What he's got to say means more than what you've got to say. Now, you can talk about yourself all you want, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what you say. What matters is what he says. And you can think whatever you want to think about yourself, but what matters is what he knows about you. More importantly, what matters is, does he know you or does he not? Because look at what he said. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Well, he didn't say they didn't do any of that stuff, did he? He didn't say you didn't do any of those things. He said, I never knew you. And that's the difference right there between heaven and hell. Does he know you this morning? Do you know him? Do you have that personal relationship? Has there ever been that time where you made the choice to receive Jesus Christ and him alone, where you put your faith in him and nothing else? I mean nothing else. You didn't trust your baptism, your goodness, nothing. You trusted just in Jesus Christ and him alone. Has there been that time? If there hadn't, then he doesn't know you. And you don't know him. And if that never changes, then irregardless of what good deeds you do and how righteous you think you are, when you stand before him, he's going to say, I never knew you. And then look at it. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And let me show you something real quick. What does he think about all of those good deeds done by people that he doesn't know? According to verse 23, in his eyes, their iniquity. Do you see that? Are y'all paying attention this morning? It's really important that you listen to this. See, they said we've done this, 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 and it was all good stuff. It wasn't bad things. We cast out devils, we prophesied, we did many wonderful works. And he doesn't say you didn't do that. But the way he saw those things that they did was vastly different from the way they saw those things. They saw them as many wonderful works that they had did. Jesus saw them as iniquity. Now, why is that? You'd think, well, man, good things. He would compliment them on what they had done and brag about them and tell them what a good job they had done. Because they're all good things, but he said their iniquity. You know why their iniquity in his eyes? Because those were the things they were counting on to get them to heaven instead of the blood he shed on Calvary. That's why. And anything that any man or woman or boy or girl puts their faith in instead of the blood of Jesus Christ is an offense to God. He's not happy about that. It's a slap in his face for a human being to trust that stuff instead of trusting the sacrifice that his son made for them on Calvary. There's a major difference, folks. There's just one way, one thing you can do to get you there. That's put your faith in Jesus Christ. I hope you've done that. I hope you have. But here, let me give you two other things real quick. Not only the major difference concerning the two ways, but secondly, the master's desire concerning the two ways. And I'm about out of time, so I'm not going to elaborate a lot, but the master's desire. What is his desire? What does he want you to do? Look at verse 13. The thing starts out, Jesus Christ says, enter ye in at the straight gate. He makes no bones about which way he wants you to go, right? Why does he want you to go in the straight gate? Because it's that straight gate that leads to life. So what is his desire? What does the Lord want for you? I tell you, the Lord wants everyone to choose the way that leads to life. He doesn't want a single individual to wind up in hell. Not one. It's his will that every person choose the way that leads to life. That's his will. And I'll say to you, if there's anybody who winds up in hell, and there's a whole lot of people already there, and there's more to follow, but not one person has ever went to hell because it was the Lord's will for them to go to hell. The master's will is for every single individual to trust him and go to heaven. The Bible says he will have all men to be saved. All men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, the Bible says. This is the reason above all other reasons why Jesus Christ came to this earth. He came down here and tasted death for every man. He came and became the propitiation for the sins of the whole world so that no person would have to spend eternity in hell. That's the Master's will. But here's number three. Not only the major difference in the Master's desire, but thirdly, I want you to notice the majority's decision concerning the two ways. The majority's decision. People say the majority's always right. Well, not in the Bible, okay? I mean, that's just fact of life. According to the Bible, the majority, y'all listening to me? The majority is not always right. Just because you have a gathering of people and the majority of those people decide about something, it does not mean that they have decided what is right for them or anybody else. I'm going to show you that the mass of humanity, the majority of the people who live on this earth, those that have lived in the past, those living now, and those who live in the future, are going to wind up in hell. The majority. Look at it. Verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Look at it. And many there be which go in thereat. Many. Many. Now look at the next verse. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and what's that word? Few there be that find it. According, not to me, but according to Jesus Christ, what will the majority's choice be? The majority's choice will be the way that leads to destruction. There will be far more people who wind up in hell in the lake of fire than people who wind up in heaven. That's what Jesus Christ said. They'll go there against his will because that's not his desire. He's done everything he could possibly do to help people not go there. He left heaven and came down here and paid the supreme price. He took care of everything so that no one would have to go to hell. But in spite of everything that he did, the majority of people will choose the way that leads to destruction. Why in the world would that be? Why would the majority of people choose hell over heaven? It doesn't even compute in my mind. It doesn't even register in my mind why the majority, the masses of people in this world would side with hell over heaven. It really doesn't make any sense, does it? I'm sure there's a lot of ways that you could answer that question, but I'm going to tell you the main reason why the majority are going to side with hell. One word is deception. They're deceived. The devil's very good at what he does. He doesn't take vacation and he doesn't take days off. He stays at it day in and day out doing what he does. And the devil, through the pleasures of this life, through false religions, through money and power and fame and pornography and on goes the list, has deceived and will continue to deceive the masses of people into choosing hell over heaven. It's deception. You just got to believe that anybody who was in their right mind and saw things clearly. I'm talking about saw them as God sees them. Saw them as they're written in the Bible. Anybody in their right mind who had their eyes opened and understood where they were going and how bad that place is going to be, how it's worse than they could ever imagine if they lived 1,000 lifetimes. They would have to have enough sense to choose heaven over a place like that. Amen? So the only thing I can come up with, or the main thing I can come up with, is deception. The devil has deceived them into thinking differently than what we know to be the truth according to the Bible. And that's why the majority will side with hell and they'll wind up burning in that place forever and ever. But here's a conclusion. This is the whole thing. just because the majority of people are going to choose the way that leads to destruction does not mean that you have to choose the way that leads to destruction. You following what I'm saying? Yeah, the majority's going to wind up there. That's what the Lord said. But that doesn't mean you got to wind up there. There's still hope for you. There's still a chance for you, and that chance is right now. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're given a privilege and an honor right now to make that decision. Before you leave this place, your name can be written down in the Lamb's Book of Life to be there forever and ever. What a great way to spend Memorial Day weekend. Amen. This is a big weekend out in the world, and it's a time when we remember our veterans. Thank God for every one of them. But I'm going to tell you, the greatest thing you could do on Memorial Day weekend is have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the greatest thing. And you can have that, if you don't, before you leave today. If you're willing to cast aside all of your righteousness, just give up on you, because I'm telling you, it's not in you. Just give up on all of the things that you're clinging to and holding on to and thinking in your mind that's going to get you there. Just get rid of all of that stuff, because right now, no matter how good it seems to you, it's just iniquity in the eyes of God, because you're trusting that instead of what His Son did for you. Throw all that stuff aside. Get rid of all your righteousness this morning and trust in the only one who has ever been truly righteous. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can know that when your time comes, y'all listening to me? Your time is coming. It could be sooner than you think. But if you'll trust Jesus Christ, you can know that when your time comes, you'll be with Him for all eternity. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Father, we come to you today so thankful for that way that leads to life. Lord, I'm glad that there was a choice. I'm glad that I wasn't destined, and it wasn't predetermined that I burn in hell. I'm glad that you gave me a choice. I'm thankful that you gave me a way out. There is that way that leads to life. Nobody here has to go to hell, Lord. You've paid the price. You've given them a choice, an opportunity, a way where they can be with you forever. And if there's somebody here this morning that's never received you, please, Lord, I pray you'd put them under such conviction that they can't leave until they get saved. Lord, help them, I pray, to make this day the greatest day of their life, to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand together, please.